Hey, I'm your host, Mari Wagner, and you're listening to the Ever Be Podcast, where faith meets lifestyle. I'm so excited you're here. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime follower, I know there's something here for you. Pull up a chair and listen in for insightful, real-life conversations and actionable steps on how to claim the full life God created you for. If you're a woman desiring to live a Christ-centered life in today's modern world, then this is for you. Welcome to Ever Be. Today's episode is about learning to live a more ordered life as a Catholic woman. And I brought in the two founders of Soleil Atelier. They created the Soleil Weekly Planner, which is a Catholic planner. So these women that you could say are experts on learning to organize your life, plan your life, integrating healthy habits into your life to make sure that you're living a balanced life, a really integrated life. As someone who lives a busy life herself and wears a lot of hats, it's always helpful for me to learn from other women what's working for them, what are systems they're implementing, what are tips and tricks that they're doing in their home to make sure that it runs more smoothly or that everybody's needs are met in the family. So I hope this episode is helpful for you to kind of hear us all three reflect on our own lives and the different things that we have done to try and stay more organized. It's really practical episodes. You're going to walk away with things that you can implement into your life this week. Let's get into it. Welcome back to Ever Be Podcast, everybody. It's me, your host, Mari Wagner. And today I'm accompanied by some lovely ladies, Carolyn and Mariana. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what Soleil is?
Sure.
So, hi, I'm Mariana. I'm a mother of two, a wife, and I studied engineering and did a lot with kind of general management, but there got to a point in my career where I was kind of missing the product design and a lot of layers of responsibilities were being added to my plate once I got married and had kids. So, yeah, we really needed kind of a way to get organized. And I also wanted to kind of start my own thing and design a product. So that was a little bit of the beginning of Soleil and the idea. I'll let Carolyn kind of tell the full story. She's really good at that. But Soleil has been really fun to now do in parallel with my full-time job. And I live in the Chicagoland area near family as well. So it's been really fun to kind of work on Soleil and being with my husband and kids. So that's me.
Amazing. So I have a background in education, and then from there, I've worked with leading nonprofits, with different boards, Women of Vision, once in fashion, and so on. But throughout my whole kind of young professional career, I kept hearing this idea of work-life balance. And Mariana and I were friends at the time, and so obviously we're striving for this like golden mean of work-life balance. We kept seeing with all of these kind of opportunities that we were being given, whether it was volunteering, working, cultivating deep friendships, growing professionally and personally ourselves, that this idea of balance was really hard to maintain. Mm-hmm. And so we said, how do you manage this and become somebody who's successful? Both later on, we both became mothers. So we're wives, moms, business owners, and so on, but in a way that's very thoughtful. And we came up with this, or didn't really come up with it, but came to the realization that it's living this integrated life. Mm-hmm. And so for us, that meant that we had to have these big ideals and goals, but also a way for holding ourselves accountable. And so within that too, we wanted to have a deep spiritual life, as well as this professional life, to be able to show up for our friends, for our family members, and so on. And so within that, our first product that we kind of landed on was coming up with a planner. And we had also realized during this kind of transitional period, as you're coming out of college, you're working a new job, I ended up moving to another country, and so starting my family out there, that with all of the moving pieces, it's really easy to have these kind of big goals and dreams, but the accountability piece is really hard to maintain. And within that, we're all on our screens and our attention is being pulled in different aspects. And so having something where we're pausing and actually writing things down, for us, we realized was really key, not only for our spiritual life, but also for ourselves as professionals, as friends, as mothers, and so on. And so we landed on coming up with a planner, but we wanted something too that was this integrated piece. So it was minimalistic. It could go from the various places that we were occupying. So from boardrooms to the coffee hour, cocktail hour, to the chapel, and kind of travel seamlessly in between those spaces, while at the same time helping us, the individual user, live in the presence of God better. And so within that, we integrated pieces of the Holy Father's monthly intention, the liturgical calendar, an examination of conscience, and then spaces for us to really grow as professionals. And so within it, we partnered with Kevin Majors from Optimal Work. And so he's both a professor at Harvard and has his own practice. And he came up with Optimal Work. So this kind of idea of how do we strive for our highest good? Like, do we know our highest good and are we striving for it? And so for anybody who's Catholic, for us, obviously, it's sanctity. And so it was a natural fit in seeing how does the brain work and what is the neuroscience behind what's happening in my brain and how I'm tackling these challenges at hand to help me really achieve this high level of professional excellence. And so from there, Soleil was born.
That is beautiful. Thank you for sharing that backstory and the heart behind it all. I think some words that really resonated with me are balance and integration, obviously. Yes. And I think it's so true. We hear work-life balance all the time. And it's so hard to achieve. And like, what is balance really? And what does it look like in different seasons? And having the grace and understanding with ourselves that that balance like can look different in different seasons. But what I love that you said is that like true balance is about integration. It's not about like compartmentalizing different parts of your life or ignoring parts of your life and just like tunnel vision in on one. Right. It's really about integration of all of that. And so I'm excited to get into the conversation today and talk about that. What does that integration look like? What does it actually mean to live an ordered life as a Catholic woman? And some practicals. I'm all about the practicals. And I know you guys have such great advice to share for women to walk away with. Because I think this is one of those topics where we can like hear a lot about it and walk away and be like, but how do I do it? Like, help me. So hopefully we'll get practicals today too. But let's jump into our Ever Be moments first. So this is a space where we can share how God's working in our life. Do you guys have any recent Ever Be moments you want to share?
Sure. So one of mine is we had scheduled this trip back to visit family months in advance. And then we found out my littlest, the youngest niece, so number, I think 11 now, or maybe number 10, was just born. And so we were just in time for the baptism. So we had a great family reunion. And I was so grateful because living in another country, it's easy to miss those special family moments. So that was really a gift from God.
That's so beautiful. Where are you living?
So I'm in Honduras.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Being over there. Cool.
And for me on my end, so I recently moved into a home like 2 weeks ago. So there's a lot of transition going on. But as we're thinking of filling the space, doing a lot of Facebook Marketplace shopping, things like that, finding things in thrift stores. But the other day when we were kind of at a garage sale, actually a family friend as well, John was picking up, my husband was picking up some things from there that we had ordered, some furniture, and I was doing something else with the kids. And originally I was just planning on going back home, but I kind of felt like, oh, should I go and see if John needs any help? Although he probably is fine and I could go home, but figured I might as well stop by and say hi. And when I got there, literally it was just as he was pulling out and I was going in, and he kind of stops me and he's like, wait, no, bring the kids in. Because his family friend, her mother that lives there is on the older side, and she just really wanted to see the kids. And he kind of had said, oh, we can come back another day for sure. And I really think it was the Holy Spirit prompting me to go, because I really wasn't going to help him with the furniture, but getting some time to just spend with her, to slow down in the midst of a chaotic errands kind of day, and for her to see the kids and seeing the joy it brought to her, and at her age with just like what she can and can't remember and the story she was still telling, even though some things are fading, she has a lot of like really solid memories, especially with my husband's family. And so it was just such a special time that I really didn't need to be there for, but then I was prompted to, and it landed in that really beautiful experience.
Oh, that is so beautiful. I love that. Thank you for sharing. I think for me, my Ever Be moment is, so just recently while we were in Mexico, we went to Mass one day, and I really wanted to go to adoration, and I hadn't really had the time or ability to find a chapel nearby because my husband had the car while he was at school, and we walked into this church like on the backside. Like, there's a very obvious, beautiful front courtyard, but we like somehow missed it and ended up at like the random back door. And we opened the back door, and as we walked in, there's this gorgeous big wooden door, and there's a little like printed sign that says perpetual adoration through this door. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so I like go and push open the door and I walk in, and I kid you not, it is the biggest monstrance I've ever seen in my entire life.
I mean, the host was like bigger than my head. Like it was like massive, like huge. And so the gold around it was stunning. It was so big. And we just got to spend some moments in prayer in the chapel there. And it was just like, oh, Jesus, like you heard my heart. Like, thank you for being here and leading me to the back door, because we would have absolutely missed it and not known. And we got to go back another time to go see the Lord there. So that was just so a beautiful. Yeah, it's a beautiful little hi, God moment.
That's awesome.
Okay, well, let's dive into our conversation today. And I think a good way to kick it off is just kind of setting the groundwork of what does it actually mean to live an ordered life as a Catholic woman? What would you guys say to that?
I think, in a sense, it's easy for us to see order and it's a human virtue, right? But as a Catholic, it's so different. I don't know if you've heard of Transformation in Christ by Dietrich von Hildebrand, but hands down recommend this book. It's phenomenal. And he talks about how we have like the virtues on a human level of charity, of order, and so on. But on a Catholic level, it's divinized and it calls on all of your faculties. And so living order could just be having things in their place at the right time and so on. But in the Catholic level, which I'm glad you added that to the question, it's doing the good that I ought to be doing, when I should be doing it, and for whom I should be doing it. And so in there, I'm calling on my will, my intellect, and not only for whom, but because I want to. And so that's like the greatest reason of all, because I'm doing it out of love. And so instead of washing the dishes because it's a responsible thing to do and I'm not leaving a mess for the person behind me, I'm doing it out of love for them. I'm doing it to serve God. And then it takes on this echo in eternity, basically. And so it could help us. I think a good question for myself is having this like rectification. So asking like, where's my heart during the day in those quiet moments? And so when I do have a little downtime or space, what am I reaching for? What am I looking for? And this could be a good like examination of being like, okay, my heart's in that Facebook marketplace. I just want to find the best deal. Or my heart's actually in like resting in our Lord. And that really gives us not only order, but brings the peace that comes with that supernatural virtue of order.
That's beautiful. Yeah, no, I love that. And one thing that comes to mind too that I've heard in the past is it basically is what you said, right? It's like the rightly ordered things. Put it. Can you say that amazing quote again? What was that quote? It was like, sure. Doing the thing you ought to do.
When you ought to do it and for whom you ought to do it. Like out of love.
Yes. And one way that I've heard it being put is in regards to our vocation and the responsibilities that come with our vocation, and how first the rightly ordered way of things is first our vocation as a beloved son or daughter of God and our relationship with God. And then it's to our spouse, or if you're religious, right, that would just be like your spouse, your bride. Well, you're the bride of Christ, right? And then it's your children, and then it's your work. And so doing the things you ought to do in that order, right, to whom it's for, I think it's a beautiful way to put it. But essentially what I had heard just kind of said in a different way, which is beautiful. And I think honestly really hard to actually do. I think it's very much easier done. And sounds very obvious. Of course we put God first. Of course we put our spouse first. Of course then we put our children. But in practice, in the day-to-day, I see the challenge every day of, okay, I have to actually work and strive to put God before my to-do list today. Or I see the way, you know, my sisters and friends strive to, okay, I'm going to put my husband before the needs of my children right now. And so would love to just kind of hear some of your thoughts on that and your experience with that.
Yeah, I think just reacting to what you're saying, Mari, and me being a very like type A organized kind of person, sometimes when you think the order of priorities, you also think that means like amount of time dedicated to those things, or us being human also, whatever is right in front of us and what we're spending time on can be where our mind is. And so that is where I think the challenge can be. Because if, for example, when you have young kids and they need a lot of your time and attention, and for me, if I'm like also working, then it's okay, is that me putting my husband below my kids? But no, it's also just kind of what Carolyn was saying of where your heart's at and the intention behind what you're doing. Because in everything we do, we can be in conversation with God or doing it for him or offering things up to him. And so that kind of puts him first, even if we're not like in a chapel, you know? Has been making sure we have time every day that we're being on the same page, or the date night a week, or whatever it might be, to each other first, but that love then outpours to our kids and to others, so it doesn't stop it. So I think that to me can be the hard part, is it's not about like how much time I'm dedicating. It's where my heart, like the intention behind it.
Beautifully said. I like what you said with that, Mariana. I think the other thing, like within Mariana's thing, is the like desire, and maybe it's just me, but like the desire to like perform. And so that it's more easy to have order in the things that are external that people see, like, oh, my house is like perfectly clean. Like my work that gets seen by like the outside world is great. But my like kid is running around with a runny nose and I haven't stopped to like take care of him. And so seeing, am I doing it like perfunctionary, like the exterior ones, or am I really taking care of, like Mariana said, that like order of love too, like within my heart? Is it there so that I'm not just performing for others, but really like the core pieces are missing? And I'm looking for that like praise. I think especially being a home, like being having part of like our vocation is when being like homemakers. It's easy to be like, well, nobody's gonna like say you did great on doing the laundry, like the dishes look amazing. We don't have that like accolation, but at the same time, that if I'm doing that with love, like that can be on the same level of this like crazy big report that I just gave to our board members. And maybe if I do with more love the dishes, that's more valuable, like in eternity's terms. So
beautifully said. So why do you guys think that so many women today feel overwhelmed or scattered in their daily lives?
I think a lot of it is, and maybe not everyone feels this, but for the ones that are doing a lot, that pressure to kind of do it all, and us just being women in the way God designed us naturally, is that we think about all those things at once. It's a lot harder compared to men to kind of focus on one thing at a time and do one task at a time and then move on to the next. We feel that weight in all of our responsibilities and wanting to really care for everyone equally. And this pressure to kind of do it all makes it overwhelming on how to organize that, especially when mentally you're thinking about that all throughout the day. So that's, at least for me, that definitely something that I struggle with.
I think like as a follow-on to Mariana's, like from that, the frenetic pace, for me, I realize it's when I don't take time for like silence. Like then I get everything is coming at me all at once, because like in silence, when I'm alone with God, I see myself like as I really am, and I can be like, hey, I'm a mess, like I need help figuring this all out, and I'm able to step back and see like what's actually important versus like what's immediate. And I think when we don't pause, everything that's immediate is coming at us, and we realize like the important things are slipping away, but it's because we haven't been able to put that order. And also I think within that, then it's easy to create like our own crosses instead of being like, this is what our Lord wants me to focus on. And we can be kind of focused on something else and being like, I just wanted it to be this way. And he's like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, that's not actually where I want your heart to be focused on. And it's humbling too, because we realize that sometimes we need to ask for like help from others, or that we're not leaning on that grace that's available to us. And we become these like task doers, and back to the first one, like performers, instead of like really intentional with our time. And from there, then we're able to like really be aware of and serve the needs of the others around us.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think too, like as women, you guys were saying it perfectly, we hold so much. The more I get older, it's honestly incredible and shocking how much we can hold at the same time. I can't even imagine what it's like when you start to add children into the mix. You're holding so much. And as women, we also feel so much about everything we're holding. It's like we have emotions in general, and then we have emotions on our emotions on everything that we're holding. And so now we're not just holding what needs to be done, but we're also holding how we feel about everything that needs to be done. And I don't know about you guys, but I know for me, a struggle is then I get really hard on myself. And then it's like, well, like I should have done it this way, or I should have made time here. Or if I had only reordered things in a different way, or if I had gotten up earlier, or if I had done this, then like, then everything would be more ordered or more organized, right? And we start to put it all in ourselves. So I love your advice of taking time to reflect with the Lord and give him all that and let him kind of like unwind just that whole spaghetti mess that we have in ourselves and kind of pull out like the things that are truly important that he wants us to focus on. And it could be that all the things that we are holding are good. They could all be good things, but even then the Lord doesn't want us to do all the good things at the same time, right? And totally. So yeah, like taking that time with the Lord, or for me too, honestly, like, I don't know about you guys, but my husband is just like such an anchor in my life to like de-stress me and also kind of take that spaghetti brain and just kind of organize it all into straight lines again. I'm like, oh, wow. When I sit down and I just like spill everything in my head, he's like, he's able to see it all and kind of help me organize it. And I'm like, okay, great. Wow. Like, we're so complimentary. Like, this is so good. Like, you can help me kind of move forward and see things clearly. So just some of that time for reflection with the Lord or maybe with your husband or something, I think is really helpful.
Totally. I remember one time someone recommended as like an act of mortification of like, if I had a time to like leave the house, that I left the house and did nothing else. Cause I feel like sometimes we're walking out of the house, we're like, oh, I wanted to grab that thing and put it away. Like, oh, I also need to grab my notebook. If I'm going out, I should also do this return. And by the end, we're like act a woman trying to do it all at once.
Yes.
And just having that, like, I'm leaving the house and that's it. Like that piece that like I'm focused on the one task. So I was like, wow, that's such a like concrete, but like thoughtful way of like, I'm present. Like, this is what I'm focused on. And like, the rest I'll figure out time later to get it done. But like, I need to be on time for this thing. And so I'm going to go for it.
That's really good advice. I am definitely going to walk away with that, because I think we so often can fall into like thinking it's almost virtuous of like getting everything done, right? Like being the one that thought of everything. And so then taking every second and opportunity we can to multitask, to get to check as much off. But then like, how does that leave us feeling inside? I don't know about you guys. I never check off everything on my list. And the more I check off, the more I add. Like the more things come up, so it like doesn't actually leave me feeling super peaceful.
Totally.
But could it be more virtuous to know like, this is the one thing that I'm dedicating my time and energy to? And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do it well. And I'm not going to let myself be like burdened by other things. That's definitely something to think about.
Yeah. And being human, I think having those different spaces is so important. Like, you do need to get out of the house and not have the visual clutter. Or even if it's within the home, like having a room you can go through, whatever it is. But God knows we're human. And like having those separate places for things is so important.
Yeah, totally. So more practically, what are steps that you guys take to plan your day or maybe your week?
I think this looks really different depending on what season we're in. So I think you're catching us at a very like transition time with both of our oldest being very young and we're new moms. But for me on my end, I do work. I have a full-time job, but I'm also on maternity leave for my second right now. So each year has been like maternity leave and work look very different. But I think the common thread is finding time to kind of think through like, what are my priorities for the week? So and when we designed our planner, we have the top three to, because it is good to just like have a concrete number. Like you said, Mari, you can always add to the list. So like, what are the top three priorities? But also just like, what needs to happen throughout the week in terms of like physical activities or what people who needs me that week, thinking through that. And of course, like along with that is the essentials of where prayer is going to go. So like, when am I going to go to daily mass or things like that? But then after that, it's like, where are the other little like chores or tasks or projects going to fit in? And that's like discerning what I can actually handle that week and like how much free time I really have while still having time for people and relationships and fun activities as well. So during maternity leaves, a lot of that's like during the kids' nap times and things like that. And then when I'm working, it's oftentimes beginning of my workday on a Monday is like the week. And then at the end of the workday, I like to reflect on how the day went, like what I want to get done tomorrow and how I could be better tomorrow. So like having that daily reflection as well.
Beautiful.
I think mine is similar, but I think for me, even before starting Soleil, using a planner was like kind of terrifying for me because it's such a form of like accountability. And then you see like, like I didn't follow through with that, or like, I missed that, or that day is just totally blank. But I do see it as something that I need, like something physical, tangible that I can take away. And again, it's kind of, I actually added to my prayer time. So I start off my morning with my planner. And so we set it up actually how like my brain works, in the sense of I put down my top three for the week in the beginning. And so I think it's kind of anti this octomom idea that like, I'm going to get it all done. Like, what are the three things that at the end of the week, if I haven't accomplished it, like something has to change. And so those are things also that I'll like discuss with my husband as well, to be like, this is my goal for the week. Like, I need your support in getting this done. Mm-hmm. So I have my top three that I get it done. And then the other is like thinking about what are the big things that I really want to be present for, whether It's a friend who has a job interview that I want to follow up with, whether it's a birthday, whether we have a meeting with a client, whatever. So what are those things that I really need to like set aside time for and make sure that I have other pieces in place so I can be at peace with it, that I'm arriving on time, that everything feels like good to go. And then once I have those kind of big blocks in the spaces, I also kind of think of the way, how does this work with my like plan of life? And so for me, that means I'm going to like daily morning mass and setting aside daily time for prayer. And so that means waking up a little bit early before my toddler wakes up. So there's just like some silent time in prayer with nobody kind of calling on my attention or needing me. That I'm able to have like a cup of coffee. I'm able to like look out a window into some like beautiful nature scene. And then on the flip side, it also means that I'm setting a bedtime. And I think that's something that as an adult and as a wife, mother, son, it's really hard to like maintain a bedtime. Because we're like, okay, waking up on time, like I need to be around for other people. But really bedtime is like for myself. But I think that's so helpful because it's a way of like resting and recharging. And in the end, like that's making you available for others and being able to serve at the same time. And so I think having those two like time blocks is really important. And then also just like looking at when are the times that I'm going to set up for cleaning? When are the times that I'm going to be with friends? Because for me, that's also like a recharge. Where am I going to put date night? But really at the end of the week, having written those things down, then I'm able to look back and reflect and be like, okay, this went well. This didn't go well. How can I improve? Because obviously we're works in progress and some weeks will be great. Others will be kind of messy and that's just how it is. And that growing space is huge. And then, as I mentioned before, like part of this like self-knowledge piece also is like a way of working as a team with my husband. And so looking over with him and being like, yeah, like that didn't go great. Or like that was such a fun plan. Like we should do that more often. Is kind of how I go about it.
What if Easter wasn't something you celebrated just once, but something you carried with you every day? Living Easter by Laura Kelly Fanucci is a beautiful daily companion to help you carry the joy of the resurrection into your everyday life for all 50 days of the Easter season. This book shows you what to celebrate, how to show up, and how to choose joy. You'll move from celebrating Easter once a year to truly living the whole season. St. John Paul II said, "We are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song." Discover what that actually means with Living Easter. Step into the season of joy at AveMariaPress.com.
I love that. I love especially what you were saying about taking note of the things you want to be present for just in your personal life. I think that's so important. And for women who feel like they have a busy life, especially women who are juggling both a professional life, a home life, being a mother, a wife, that's so much to juggle. And I think it could be really easy to drown in that. And kind of just become unaware of anything that's outside of the four walls of your home, right? And you driving to work and back. But I think it's so important to be intentional in your relationships outside of your home and your work, because those friendships, that community is so valuable and so filling for you, for your cup, for your well-being as well. And so I love that, because I think a lot of the times we have those good intentions, but they're just floating thoughts in our brain. Like, oh, it's my friend's birthday on Thursday. Or like, oh, my friend just had a baby. Like, I wanted to make her a meal. Or this person just came home from the hospital or whatever. And it floats in our brain. And then sometimes the time passes. We're like, oh, shoot, I wanted to do that. And the intention was there, but you didn't follow through with that good, just act of love. So even just taking that extra step to write it down and to make note of that at the beginning of the week, I think is beautiful advice. Also, like I've heard people have like marriage meetings or weekly meetings or something, and they chat things over with their husbands, and you both have a space to be like, this is what should happen this week. This is what I really want. How can we support each other to get it done? I love kind of that team mentality.
And I think with that, the other thing that's helped for like showing up, like you were saying, that it's so good to have those friendships, is also like stacking the things. So you're reflecting back on the week and you're like, man, I wish I had gotten groceries earlier, or I wasn't able to make mass. But then connecting it with something like, wow, I haven't seen this friend in a while. Maybe I can invite her to mass and then we go to the park afterwards with our kids. Or I have to get groceries and this other friend of mine has been like, I've been dying to make this recipe. And so we go grocery shopping together, we make that recipe. But kind of putting two good things together that I know that I want to accomplish, but making it something that's like joyful and more life-giving than like, oh gosh, grocery shopping, like another Costco trip kind of thing.
Yeah. No, yeah. I love that too. And just a couple things I feel like that have helped me a lot is having a day of the week where I'm like looking ahead to the next week and making note of things. And I think for me, meals are a big thing that are just like a make it or break it for my day or my week. And so on Sundays, I usually take time to meal plan. We don't really do meal prepping, but I meal plan for the week. And some people might think it's crazy. I'm like, I plan my breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the entire week, basically. And I have it all written down on a little notepad. And then I make the grocery list based off of all those recipes. And I buy those exact ingredients. So I know I'm using exactly what I bought from the grocery store. And if for me, it just takes away that decision fatigue, which I feel like, especially women who is working and maybe has children, there's so many decisions you have to make during the day and not a lot of time if you have to be at a job at 9 a.m. And so even just knowing like, okay, this is what I'm having today for breakfast. I know I already have those ingredients. I can do that. Maybe you packed your lunch the night before, but then you already know what's getting done for dinner. And even having it written down, and I write down where I got the recipe from too. So I have this little notepad. I'll link it in the show notes, but I'll be like, okay, like protein blueberry pancakes. And then I'll just in parentheses put like IG recipe and I'll know, oh, I saved it on my Instagram. Or it'll be like, you know, chicken piccata from Half Baked Harvest cookbook number 2. Hey, no, it's from, because I'm like, I have so many cookbooks and so many things saved on my Instagram. Like, I don't even know where that recipe is. But then it's also really helpful for my husband, because if there's an evening where maybe I'm hosting Bible study and I didn't get time to plan, and so I have to plan right before Bible study and I didn't have time to make dinner, he can go and it's a weight lifted off of me to be like, okay, this is what we're making and this is what you got to do. But he knows he can go to the little meal chart and be like, oh, okay, it's chicken piccata from Half Baked Harvest book number 2. I'm going to go make dinner. And he is empowered to go make dinner that night. And it's great. So that's just my little tip there, is that when your meals are planned, decision fatigue is taken away and you know you have the ingredients and you're well fed all week, which is so important.
I totally agree. Something that we actually started doing, which was like kind of crazy, but when my little one came, I was like, I'm not going to have any time. And so I ended up making like triple the recipe, which is like, okay.
Wow.
But so you have it basically for dinner or whatever meal you have, and you'll have the next day of leftovers, but I would freeze a part of it if it was a freezable meal, and then I could just unfreeze it. And so in the seasons where I know things are going to be crazy, I'll make a healthy meal and freeze a section of it. So don't even use it as leftovers. Just have it later to pull out of your freeze and be like, this is an amazing meal from Half Baked Harvest that I'm just going to reheat and put on rice. But like so simple and such like a sense of peace that I'm feeding my family something healthy, but also it's going to take me 15 minutes, like do it all. So that was huge.
Great idea. Okay. So for the busy woman juggling work, home, relationships, where should she start when trying to get her life in order? What's the first thing you recommend that she should focus on?
So ideally it's like prayer and reflection, right? Like turning back, slowing down, silence, and talking to our Lord. But one thing when I was thinking about this question is that sometimes some of the basics need to be in place first to actually give myself like the mental clarity and peace to properly like deeply pray. So whether that's making the time to go to a chapel or cleaning up an area of the house so that I'm not distracted by the clutter. So that was big for me. But like just slowing down, I like to do kind of like a little mini retreat or spending some time to truly reflect and think through all the pieces slowly and in conversation with our Lord, because in the day-to-day, things can get really busy and fast. But
I think like towards Brianna's point, Pope Francis talks so much about the importance of a dream, like these big ideals for our future, for our children. And I think that's something so key in terms of like living an ordered life, like, and juggling these responsibilities. Like, what do I want out of this? Like, what does God want for me? Where am I going? So having these like high ideals, I think is huge. And personally for me, that means I'll do an annual retreat like in silence for 3 days, which is crazy, but it's so beautiful. Because I think really like until, for me at least, it takes like the first day I'm getting used to the silence. The second day you're like really immersed in. By the third day I'm like, this is amazing. Like I'm coming up with all these resolutions. I'm having more clarity for things. But really just that like time away to refuel, I think is so important. And just like, I don't know, gives a little like hint to like, where is my heart? And so with like this juggling, we can ask like, where does God want me? And I remember this story hearing and being like, he is a beast. But JP2 at one point had this like huge meeting with various leaders of states, and his secretary couldn't find him. And so he went running around the Vatican, and he's like, he's probably in the chapel because that's always where he's. And so he comes in the chapel and the Holy Father is praying there. And he's like, Holy Father, like, we should appoint, man. It's a big deal. Like, we got to go. He's like, I'll come. Like, don't worry. Like, I'll be there. Comes back like it's a half hour later. He's like, no, like, it already started. Like, we got to get you there. This is so important. And he's like, precisely because it's important, I need to finish this time of prayer. And I was like, wow. Like, how many times am I like, okay, God, like, you here, like, my work, I need to focus on this right now.
Yeah.
So kind of having those like dreams, like, I want to be a saint. So like, what does that actually mean? And so for me, even having like at the beginning of the year, I'll come up with like four kind of guiding goalposts. So my spiritual life, my interpersonal life, my family life, and like growing in culturally, professionally, and so on. And so that within that, then breaking it down each month, being like in the most smallest, minutest detail, like, how could I live this better? So if I'm growing in order, I can be waking up with my alarm clock the first month. Second month, it's just putting my shoes on. As they say, there's like brain science behind it. You get totally dressed, put your shoes on, and your brain's like, all right, we're ready to go for the day. But coming up with those little kind of tricks to help me keep moving towards this virtuous path of growing in whatever virtue I'm focused on, or whatever goal I'm focused on. And then being like, okay, where do I need to ask for help or adjust my schedule so that I really am living with what's most important and not falling into like what is most immediate. And then I think frequent confession, I mean, that's been my like golden equalizer, and just like bringing everything back to the basis, because obviously we're going to fail many times, but most important is to get back up more quickly each time.
And with that point, just like one little thing to add there is I realized also the importance of the daily reflection when like leading up to these bigger times of reflection or bigger times of reset, or I need to get everything in order. It's not really fruitful if I haven't actually taken time at the end of every day to see how things are going.
Yeah.
I'll sometimes come to confession and, you know, my friend's like, rushing, oh, the priest's available. You can go in. And I'm like, wait, hold on. I need to reflect for a second. Like,
Who am I?
Exactly. So just having that time in my daily schedule, I'm always working on this, but really having the time there every day so that when it comes time to those bigger reflections or things are getting really chaotic, I have spent those smaller moments with our Lord thinking through like how I'm doing to know like what needs to change or what I need to work on.
Beautiful. Yeah. Were you going to say something, Carolyn?
Yeah, I was just thinking one of the things I think sometimes like you were saying before, Mari, how we can be like hard on ourselves as women. One of the questions that I've just, and if this is helpful for people, that I've started to add to my like exam, is how have I like let or seen like our Lord loving me today? And I think it's such a helpful thing because we can get into the chaos of like, how am I doing? Like, am I being a saint? Like, how is my virtue? Blah, 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 blah. And then instead of just being like, he just wants to love me. And like, am I letting that happen? Am I recognizing like those small moments? Or am I so caught up in like what I think it should be like that I haven't like given him space or time to like just be there for me?
Yeah. What I was going to say is I love that little anecdote about Pope Francis, and we can all learn from that so much, because how many times I know I have we looked at our schedule and thrown mass or prayer or confession or whatever out the window and been like, God, you get it. It's such a busy day. Like you know better than anybody, like what I have on my day, like you understand. And I just like see him being like, precisely, like I have on your plate today, so come see me so we can do this together, so you can have the grace to get it done, like let me help you. And it just reminds me so much also of the surrender novena, and I've probably said this so many times on a podcast, so hopefully I'm not boring people, but it's just so good. There's a line in surrender novena, I think it's literally day one or something, where it says like, you like letting God be in control is like you have to actually like let go of worry and let him do it. And so often what we do is we're like a little kid trying to open a really tight jar and say like, Mom, can you help me? And then she reaches to help you. And then you're like, wait, let me try again. Like, wait, no, I got it. We're always like, we have so much on our plate. God help me. But like later, like you can help me later. I got to go do it. And so this is just a good reminder of like in the times when we feel the busiest, when we feel the most stressed, when we feel the most overwhelmed, those are the most important times to make time for the Lord, even 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. And the peace we will feel from that makes all the difference. It truly does.
And I think like asking ourselves, like in those times, where are we going? Like, are we finding like rest in social media? And if so, like, how can we tailor that or trim it down or like ask for help to kind of focus our like energies and like receive like true rest elsewhere?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So kind of going along this, like when life does get really busy or when you feel like you're out of routine, how do you reset?
For me, confession. Blessed Alvaro had an amazing quote that he used to like pray to our Lord. And it was similar to Pope Francis, also had a similar one, but it was, thank you, forgive me, help me more. And I think when things are crazy, that's like on repeat. That's just my aspiration in the background. Like, thank you, forgive me, help me more. Like, I'm trying, I'm failing, but I'm still trying again. And when I really need to, aka every week, this was something also I remember. I think it was my mom that taught me this, but she said, the Holy Father goes to confession once a week. Like, he's focused on like the universal church. He is Christ-centered and us. And I'm like, yeah, I needed to. So that's been something that I've been working on and it's been super helpful. I would say when I fall out of this like routine, because really it is like, in the grand scheme of things, like, am I striving for sanctity in the like big picture? Mm-hmm. And then that trickles down into the little day to day of what do I make most important? Where's my time being spent? How am I showing up for others, for our Lord, and so on?
Beautiful. Yeah.
And for me also, that time of getting out of routine sometimes is a sign for me that I need to like rethink things too. So instead of just really quickly rushing back to figure out how can I get this routine to work, it's like, why is it not working? And thinking through that. So Mari, you mentioned this earlier, but I totally relate to just like, sometimes that's the time when I would go to my husband or just like kind of brain dump everything and he helps like straighten things out, or just like taking those two pieces separate, like of first getting it all down, clearing my head, like, yeah, brain dumping. And then maybe it's the next day even, or taking some time to reflect on it for a bit before I go back and think, okay, does something need to change, or how should the priorities go? And like, how can then I establish a new routine if necessary? Because often it's getting out of hand because there's something off or I'm doing too much. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I relate to that too. And I think when I'm in those seasons is when I realize, and when I'm actually able to be so honest with myself, I'm like, yeah, I'm doing too much. Like, I think very often I hold a lot and I don't admit to myself that I'm doing too much. And then there comes a breaking point where I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm doing too much. So what's your guys' advice? Like, how do you discern like what deserves a yes and what deserves a no? Because I think in those seasons where I'm like, I feel a little bit more chaotic or out of control and I'm recognizing like I'm doing too much, that's when I recognize like the only way out is like to start saying no to things. And it's really hard to say no to things. And I think a lot of women struggle with that. So how do you handle seasons like that? How do you discern what gets a yes and what gets a no?
I think for me, it's helpful asking like, who are those directly affected by the chaos that's like going on in my life? And so whether it's my husband, my family, and discuss for me, like with him as a team. And JP2 once said that married couples can achieve such a union that they have one spiritual life, which I was like, wow. So that also means like my chaos affects him as well. And so we have to tackle it together and then go back to like the priorities. Like, am I able to live these like guiding principles in my priorities? Well, what's getting in the way? And like, can I be more creative about my time so that I'm really able to like be loving?
Yeah. And I think when you think of the people in your life, it starts to become clearer what truly is necessary versus what something you think is necessary, what you've put on yourself. And like, truthfully, for me, sometimes in some seasons, that's a lot of like asking for help and outsourcing, working and having a family. Last year when I was, before my second was born, and so I was working and we were doing Soleil, there was a lot going on. And so I would rather spend my time on thinking, how do I want things run around the house? Like, what do I want my family to eat? How do I like time with my kids? I love like designing the home and the flow of the home because we host and things like that. But then somebody else can help me with the more like day-to-day, I'll say, I guess, like more operational parts of the home of like, okay, my nanny helps with the dishes and like, that's okay. Like, I don't have to be doing all the chores as the mother, right? So And it depends on the season. So right now during maternity leave, I can take on a little more. So being okay with that and being at peace with that was huge for me and leaning on others.
Absolutely. I love your honesty in saying that. And I think that that like needs to be said more. Like, it is okay to outsource even the home things. Cause I think when people hear outsource, they think like more like work life. Like, okay, what am I going to outsource in my work life? Or as a business owner, you know, there's so much to do and outsourcing really helps take that load off. But also like as a wife and mother, you can outsource things of the home and not feel bad about it because it's helping you thrive and helping you give more of that love and time and energy to the people in your home. So definitely want women to hear that. I was going to ask one other thing about what you were saying. Oh, I remember. Yes, yes. You were talking about sometimes like expectations we place on ourselves. And I think that's a huge thing for me. And when I actually come to recognize it, that gives me so much peace and freedom because there's definitely mm-hmm. seasons where I feel like, gosh, I was supposed to do this and this and this and this. And if it's not there, then I'm hard on myself. And Trey will often be like, okay, well, why did it have to get done like this? Or why did it have to get done by this time frame? And I'm just kind of like, well, because I just like wanted it, or just because I told myself it would, you know? And even like a month away in Mexico, like I had such a list of like big projects that I wanted to have 100% wrapped up by the end of the day. And I just thought that like, because I was going to be away from my day-to-day at home, or away from my home and my day-to-day, that I would have like all the time in the world to just like do all of these projects and have them all done by the end of the month. And I will say we made great progress on them, but they're not done. And by the end, I was like, the last couple of days, I'm like, Trey, like, oh my gosh, we only have 3 days left. Like, we have to do all of these things like quickly. And he's like, we can either spend the last 3 days like super stressed out trying to like check these things off just because you wanted them done by March 31st. Or we could just kind of like have some balance and check a couple things off and then enjoy time at the pool and then enjoy time at the beach and enjoy our last couple of days together. And then maybe we finish them up in the first weeks of April and that could be okay. And it was just like giving myself that permission to let go of self-imposed expectation that gave me the freedom to be like, yeah, it is okay. Okay, we can let go of those things.
Yeah. Or just like the fact that he was trying to help you like value rest, I think is so good and so healthy that like mm-hmm. this is a good too for you. Like, and it'll help you be better at your work later on when you come back. And you have all those things you're catching up in April, like you'll be able to have been like rejuvenated mm-hmm. the end of March so that you're able to really like tackle things in April.
Totally. Awesome. Yeah. Well, so what would you guys say to the woman who feels maybe behind and like she can't keep up with life? What is some advice you have for her?
I love, and I can't remember which St. Thomas it is. I think it might be St. Thomas Aquinas, but he recommended a good bath, a glass of red wine, and chocolate. It's like, yes. Wow. Like, that's so healing, but so good. Like, we need to take care of ourselves. Our health is important. Like, am I getting enough rest? And I think that's a really good question in the beginning. Like, am I eating well? Do I have time to exercise? Like, if not, I need to review things because mm-hmm. obviously that first part is broken and that's most immediate. That kind of we come head to head with. And whether it's, I know a few mom friends of mine go to the YMCA because they babysit your kids for free while you work out. So I'm like, that's a great idea. Or that we do like our rosary while we're doing like a family walk. So we're getting in some movement. We're outside in nature. Like we were talking about before, organizing that shopping trip with a friend to get in that social rest mm-hmm. while you're doing something that's actually really productive. Because I think this was the same as Maria said, that only those who know how to be happy on earth can be happy in heaven. And so mm-hmm. when we feel behind or when we can't keep up with life, we're just like sad and frustrated and anxious. And we have to like rediscover this like real joy in the ordinary. But if obviously we're mentally, physically, emotionally overwhelmed or committed too much, like we need to stop and like ask for help. Or alternatively, it could be that we're putting burdens, like you were saying, Mari, on us that maybe aren't actually healthy for us or are not meant for us to carry. And so really thinking, instead of like working on trying to keep up with this idea I have of myself or with others, what are the gifts that I have and how does God want me to give back those gifts? And am I using them on a consistent basis? Because that also like brings us energy and joy. And then I totally recommend this masterclass by Kevin Majors. So again, he's the one who started Optimal Work, professor at Harvard, has his own practice. but he has one on anxiety. And it's like, what's going on physically in our brain? And how can we counteract those like chemical reactions that are happening so we can really be present and at peace about what we have at hand?
That's so great. Are you able to send me those links? We can throw them in the definitely. Show. That way people can access those resources.
We actually have a link with a discount too. So we'll share that one with you for sure.
That's true.
Amazing. Yeah.
Special perk.
Little perk for the podcast. Awesome. Well, if we want to get really practical to wrap up here, what are 2 to 3 things that people can implement or changes that women can make this week immediately feel more organized and at peace?
I would say wake up at a set time, go to bed on time, set your top 3 priorities for the week, and then inspect what you expected of yourself at the end of the week. And then institute at least 10 minutes of silent prayer to start your morning. And I would say 5 of those minutes in total silence. So it's actually a dialogue and not just us monologuing on all that we have in our mind and heart.
And I agree with everything Carolyn said. And I always like to also throw in like doing something fun so that whether it's like a date night or scheduling something with friends or just remembering that like God wants us to have joy and have fun through all these responsibilities too. Like work is good. Work is beautiful and it gets us closer to heaven. It's not this like chore and then we have time with family or have time fun on the weekend. So scheduling that time for fun to remind yourself of that.
Beautiful. I love that. Thank you so much, ladies, for sharing all that advice and wisdom and practical steps. Can you tell us where can people learn more about Soleil? Where can we buy your planners and where can we find you guys?
So we're online. So our website is Soleil, S-O-L-E, Atelier. com. And then we also have a presence on Instagram, Soleil Atelier LLC. And then we're also on LinkedIn for those professional connections.
And also currently our planners are on sale for 25% off. So now's a great time to snag one. In addition to, we have a notepad as well that goes with it for those of you that love to like break things down in a lot of detail or like by the hour. Both of those are available on our website.
Okay. Awesome. We'll make sure to send people their way and put all your guys' links in the show notes. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Mari. This was great.
All right. Getting into our Everbee answers for today, we have struggling with scrupulosity. What are your tips on focusing on love for God instead of fear? And will you do a pantry tour? So I'll answer the first about scrupulosity here. And then I think for the after party, we'll just do a fun little segment of an actual video tour of the pantry tour and we'll break it all down for you guys because it's definitely one of my favorite additions of our home that we did last year. But let's kick it off with struggling with scrupulosity. Any tips on focusing on God's love instead of fear? And I think the biggest thing that I just want to drive home with this today is the Lord welcomes our weakness. And I think a lot of the times we are so much harder on ourselves than the Lord is on ourselves. And if you go back to scripture time and time again, the Lord is drawn to the sinners because he wants to give them mercy and love and draw them closer to him. Nobody is too far away or too sinful or whatever, too much for the Lord to reach them. And we see this all the time. In St. Faustina's diary, I've probably said this before on a podcast, but in St. Faustina's diary, Jesus tells her that he is the closest to us when we are in our deepest suffering or in our greatest need, or he loves the souls that call to him in need all the time because they recognize their sinfulness, because they recognize their weakness. And then even this morning, as I was praying with the gospel account where the woman breaks the jar of oil on Jesus's head and feet. And there's a Pharisee that is watching this interaction happen. And he whispers to one of the apostles, like, doesn't he know how sinful this woman is? If he did, if he was really a prophet, he wouldn't let her be touching him. And Jesus, right, his heart is moved and he speaks directly to him. And he asks, which of the two, if there's 2 men with debts, one has a debt of, I don't remember the numbers, 200 denarii, and the other one has a debt of 500. And the master forgives both debts. Which of the two has the most love for their master? Something like that. And obviously the answer is the one who was forgiven the most. And so then Jesus turned to her and says, your sins have been forgiven because of the love that you have shown me. And she approached the Lord with love, not fear, despite whatever sinfulness as she has in her life or in her past. And the Lord filled her with his love and mercy. And so my tips are go to the Gospels, find those kind of accounts where the Lord draws close to sinners and pours out his love and mercy for them, because that's us. That's a representation of who we are and how we should be drawing close to the Lord. And that shows how he wants to love us and fill us and forgive us and never turns away from us, no matter what our past is like, no matter what our present is like, no matter the ways that we have failed him. So really learning about the grandeur and abundance of his love hopefully will help kind of counteract that scrupulosity and fear, because that scrupulosity is largely placed on ourselves. It's not placed there by the Lord. All right, that's all for today. If you want to catch a fun video tour of our pantry, we'll see you at the after party that our Kingdom Club gets access to. And to join that, you can just click the link in the show notes to our Patreon. See you guys next week.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and on social media, and give me a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. That helps me and the show out so much. Also, make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at EverBePodcast. And if you want more content like this and you don't already follow me, you can also follow me on Instagram at mari.c.wagner. And may his praise ever be on our lips. God bless.